Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. Troy Dooley, and we are back live with Radio for Your Mind. I have had a phenomenal week in the state of Texas. Flew into the home office down at Ignite 360, and just, you know, anytime you can hang out with your partners. And I've got four great partners down there that are just phenomenal guys. And the headquarter team that we have down there, I mean, it's an extended family. And getting to see the crew and chatting with some of them, I mean, they're in the middle of doing some awesome stuff for the new year. You know, it was just great. But let me tell you, I missed the show. I missed being here with you guys. And that's why I'm excited today. We're in Chapter 6 of Bob Bodine's book, The Power of Who. And I tell you what, he's another Texan that I've just fallen in love with and admire as a leader, a servant leader who's willing to go out of his way and help not just his clients, but people around the world. And that's why we're here. Life provides clues. And he opens this chapter up. It's interesting. He opens up with Sherlock Holmes. He says, Sherlock Holmes became world famous for his uncanny ability to perceive clues. He saw what others couldn't until he pointed them out. This remarkable gift of seeing most often revealed clues hidden in plain sight. And I think we all go through that. I just watched Sherlock's Home with Robert Downey Jr. when I was in Texas late one night as I was doing some note-taking, and I thought, man, this is so perfect with what Bob's talking about right here. You know, because it is those clues in plain sight that changed us. I think of Paige and I. We'd been flirting around with each other for 2 years, not realizing that the other one really wanted to take the first step. It's amazing when you finally see the clues plainly in your face, what can happen. When you finally listen through all the white noise and all the clutter in your life, all of a sudden you realize what's there. You know, Bob's dad, Frank, made a statement once on the radio. He said, you might have just bombed your last interview, but don't despair. Something great is right around the corner. When I think about that, I think how true that is. How true that we get caught up in the riffraff. We get caught up in everything that's happening, and sometimes we don't see the clues. You know, when I accepted the position at Ignite 360, it was under the pretense of a certain direction the company was going to take. And it was exciting to me. I thought, man, this is going to be phenomenal. This week, as we were brainstorming for 2009, the whole direction that we were taking shifted and went another direction. I mean 180 degrees. And it's like, wow. Now, it was all good. No bad here. All good. But if I wasn't watching life's clues, I could let that pass me by. Say, nah, man, I'm not interested. I'm out of here. That ain't going to work. Instead, I embraced it because in my heart, I'd already been feeling that as I was going through some of the plans that I had for 2011. See, you cannot let these clues pass you by. It's kind of like regaining your equilibrium. You know, you're going through, you're tottering and teetering in life, and you're trying to figure out which way to go and what to do. But all of a sudden, when you get that balance back, all of a sudden, you stop looking like a guy that's had three too many drinks that the police are trying to say, hey, walk a straight line. All of a sudden, you're able to see a little bit in the distance. All of a sudden, you're starting to walk toe to toe. You're walking straight down the line. You're not getting distracted. You're not going sideways. All of a sudden, you've got it. So what are the clues? What clues should we be looking for? Get out a pen and paper. And yes, that was a demand. I wasn't asking you. I'm telling you, get out a pen and paper. This is important. You got to get this down. Bob is one of these guys that he just writes it for the average everyday guy. And this is what it's about. Number one. First clue is the reoccurring dream. See, I believe that each human being is built inside with a passion, with a purpose, with a direction and a vision in life. It doesn't matter to me if you have the same spiritual faith that I do or anything else. I think this is just a natural way all human beings are created. Bob writes this, each of us have an assignment, a purpose, a dream, all our own, that we either need to discover or rediscover. And see, that truly is the key. Some of us, we put that dream aside for whatever reason. We just chucked it for a while. Said, it ain't no big deal. We'll get back to it. I can't do it. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. I wasn't meant to do this. I wasn't meant to do that. I don't have the education. I can't. We let all the dull, negative, disillusioned crap in our life get in the way. We got to stop that. Just stop. That doesn't mean that there's going to be people out there that's going to blow up your dream. We're going to talk about that. But listen to what Bob writes here. This is good. He says, your dream is unique to you, and the fact that you still have this dream should speak loudly to you. See, that's the first clue. But in order to see the next step, you're going to have to disconnect from the sum of the old patterns in your lifestyle. You know, it's funny because Darren Hardy talked about this in his book, The Compound Effect. See, all these guys have that one thing in common, and that's why I hang out with these guys. That's why I read their stuff. Because at the end of the day, they're right. See, the idea of change, period, doesn't matter who it is, freaks people out. They're stuck in their ways. We all are to a certain degree. Nobody wants to change. This is why people get into ruts and never get out of them. One of the great, great movies, it's an epic adventure, is Sweet Home Alabama. I sat there and I watched it as many times as I can. And the mama of the heroine, I guess you could say, in this book, in the movie, lives in a trailer park in Alabama. Typical southern trailer. One day she's sitting there talking to her daughter, and she says something about her daughter's husband. She says, "Mama, what's wrong with him?" She said, "Nothing. I just wanted you out of this town. I wanted something better for you." It was at that moment that her daughter really started realizing she'd been living her mama's dream. And she looked at her mama and said, "Mama, what's wrong with where you and Daddy are?" And again, her mama said, "Nothing's wrong with it. I just wanted something better for you." See, instead of her mama going out and making changes in her own life, she was living them through her daughter. She'd gotten stuck in a rut. We can't do that. Your dream is so unique to you, but you're going to have to change some of your patterns. And one of them is about change. You've got to realize that you've got to break out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to make some dramatic changes in your life if you're going to succeed. It's going to make you squirm, and it's going to make people around you squirm. You need to understand this. People will squirm. They don't want you changing. They don't want to change. If you start changing, it means they probably should change, or they're going to get left behind. That's big when you think about it. Bob writes this, "You'll feel this resistance when you start telling others about your dreams. It's human nature to process everything through the filter of how your dream and the resulting change might affect them. Since your dream is basically a complete unknown, the almost universal knee-jerk reaction is going to be negative for most people. Sociologists refer to this as the herd instinct. It's simply a strong desire to keep things as they are and not upset the status quo." In the book Leadership Challenge, one of the things that they talk about is upsetting the status quo. It's mandatory if you're going to reach your full potential. It's funny because in the Bible it says, "Don't cast your pearls before the swine." And in the context of that verse, it's talking about don't go out there and surround yourself with dull, negative, disillusioned people who are always going to be dream stealers. You don't want that. You want to go out and get wise counsel. There's no doubt about that. You want to keep focused. You want to keep moving forward. But you want people who care about you. This is why Bob talks about the 12-3-1, because they're the ones that care the most about you. They're going to ask some hard questions. There's no doubt about that. But see, if you realize that up front, if you realize that not everything is peaches and cream, now it's going to be hard work. Most people won't do it. I'm getting ready to embark on this new adventure in 2011. And one of the things that I'll be training and teaching and coaching people on is that most people won't do this. Most people don't want to change. Most people just don't care about where they're going and what they're doing. And if you want to make a difference in your life, you've got to decide. And see, that's where we're at right now. Clue number two, gifts and talents. What are you just naturally good at? You've always been good at it. People have complimented you on it. It just comes easy to you. I've got my buddy Greg Sexton. We grew up, we're best friends. First time I ever got in trouble was with Greg, and we've spent nights together. We've spent time frustrated at our wives and frustrated with money, and we just love each other. But he's a mechanic. He took a different road than I did at Votech. I went electronics, he went into mechanics. And doggone it, if he can't just listen to a car, he's got so many awards for being a mechanic. I mean, Cadillacs and Fords and all these fancy cars. He can listen. He can hear it. He can take care of it. Man, I can't do that, even sometimes with my own vehicles. And he taught me a lot. But I'm nothing like him. And I look at that and I think, wow. That's his talent. That's not just a career for him. It was his passion. I remember he had a little Nova, man, a little hot rod Nova. I mean, that thing would just go. This kind of stuff became a passion. Other people have a natural ability to encourage and motivate people to go out and achieve their objectives and their dreams. See, what is yours? See, that's the clue right there. I challenge you to talk to your who. They may have a perspective on your gifts and talents that you aren't even able to see. They may see something there and they just know it's going to fit. I was talking to one of my partners, Eric Johnson. And it's funny with Eric, because he's just a good old boy. And he came right up and we were chatting and he said, "Dude, I just want you to always tell me how it is. Always tell me straight. If we're doing it right, great. If we're doing it wrong, great. Just don't blow smoke up my butt." I said, "Bubba, that's just the way I am. I don't know how to do it any other way. Sometimes I may have to ponder something, so I don't say anything at all." But see, if you go to your who and you talk to them, the sky's the limit. You'll find that clue. You'll be able to write it down. You'll be able to move forward with it. Clue number three, birds of a feather. Now this is good. Listen to what Bob writes. "This is not complicated, so don't make it so. When you're on the right track, moving in the right direction, there will be resistance with others, or resilience rather. I can't. That isn't even right. There'll be a camaraderie with others moving along the same stream. That's because you're on a parallel course, is what it is. There's an unspoken acceptance. You're all moving in the same direction. None of you are yet there to your final destination, but you all know that you're making a difference. You all know that you're moving forward. You all know that each destination is going to be different, but you're all in the right direction. You're all on your way. You'll sense this from people. You'll want to hang out with those type of people because you're going to build them up. They're going to build you up. All of a sudden, you realize you're not a lone ranger out there by yourself." See, this is what sucks about networking. Is because most people go out there to network. It's about what's in it for me, what's in it for me, what's in it for me. I'm going to give you my business card. I'm going to talk. But see, when you start to build trust, when you start to build this camaraderie, when you start to go out there and hang out with like-minded people going on the same type of journey, all of a sudden, it's like a light bulb goes off in your brain. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, this is doable. Bible has another verse that says three strands are better than one. I'm talking about friendships, but it's going about a rope, because if you take a rope and you put three strands together, it's stronger, it won't break. That's kind of where we're at when we look at birds of a feather. Kind of goes back to what Seth Godin calls the tribe. Everybody's moving, everybody's going, everybody's focused in the same direction. That's a win-win. That's what we all want. See, too many times in life, we try to do it on our own. We just try to go out here and say, I can do it. I don't need help. I can do this. It's no big deal. We get caught up in all the semantics of life. We get caught up in the crap of other people around us. I've got a crew, a great team of people, and every now and then I hear them say, well, man, we just had a bad experience. Well, crying in a bucket, what in life hasn't been a bad experience? Think from anything. You want to date a guy, you want to go date a girl, you get married, you want to make love one night, your wife's got a headache. I mean, the list can go on and on. Not every experience is great. Did it make you quit? Did you give up on the love of your life, your soulmate? Did you give up on the job that you were looking for? Did you give up on your dream just because one thing didn't happen right? We're going to have some tough experiences in life. I gave my wife a tough experience once, and she didn't give up on me. So if life gets tough in the future, why would I give up on her? I think of my mom and dad. Man, they've been strong all their life. Oh, going on 45 years, I think, 50 years of marriage now. I don't know what it's been. Long time. I guess it's not been that long. It's going on 50 years because I'm 46. And I'm thinking, wow, man. They've been through it all together. Didn't give up on each other, even now when Dad's not can't get around there like he used to. And I'm there, he's thinking, man, stir crazy around here, and she's always up nagging at me. They still love each other. See, folks, when you look at the clues of a life, you realize birds of a feather, they flock together. Clue number four, rejection. Accept it, deal with it, move on, you know. Art Williams say, just do it. All you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough. Listen to what Bob says here. Everyone hates this one. After all, what kind of an idiot would recognize your worth, wouldn't recognize your worth, your wonderful wit, and the charm, your talent, your skills, your good looks, and your keen intellect? To know you is to love you, right? Wrong. Now, that's how we all see each other. Listen to this. More than 800,000 Tutsis were slaughtered by the Hutai tribe in Africa simply because they looked down on them. That's powerful rejection. I actually got to meet two guys, each from each of those tribes, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they now go across the world ministering about love and forgiveness. It's amazing. Rejection is going to be a major part of life, guys. There's no way around rejection. If you get it from the people closest to you, you can expect to get it from people that don't know who you are whatsoever. But that's a clue. It's a clue. It's one of the five clues that we have to look at. So you've got to be able to understand that rejection is not personal. Period. It's a way of life. It's going to be there. It goes back to people not wanting change. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to be in control of their life. And when there's certain people out there, and I say probably 80%, that are too afraid to make a change, they're too fearful. See, I don't mind you running scared a little bit and saying, "Oh, we got to keep on the edge. We got to keep on the ball." That doesn't mean you're frightened. That doesn't mean you're fearful of you doing it right. That's cool. But don't let your fears cause somebody else rejection. See, listen, this is the fun part, and this is something I learned in psychology. Hurting people hurt people. Loving people love people. Fun people want to have fun with people. Passionate people provide passion to people. So if you don't like rejection, don't reject other people. John Maxwell calls it the 101% rule. You guys have heard me talk about this. Find the 1% that you can agree on with whoever you're talking to and give it 100% of your effort. That keeps it in a positive format. I didn't say you have to like them, but you can appreciate them. See, there's going to be times in life, Bob calls them the hog callers. There's going to be times when they're going to say, you're hogging the ball. You're getting all the limelight. Why don't you just stop what you're doing? And it's going to be when you're kicking butt and taking names. It's going to be when you've hit your groove, when you're cranking it, and it just seems like every shot you take is a dunk. I mean, it is a swoosh. There is no rim. There's no backboard. It's just going in. They call it a five-pointer if they had anything like it. That's going to happen. And as soon as it does, somebody's going to be out there, and they're going to want to burst your balloon. You're going to be cranking along, going good, things are going great, and then all of a sudden you're going to get to somebody, and they're going to say, is that one of those pyramid things? Oh, I heard something about that. Oh, your company. You're going to feel the rejection. You got to get through that. You got to get past that. These are the dream killers. You don't want to listen to that. Look, you're gonna do some things and you're gonna fail at it. But that's not personal either. That's just experience. How come you think we have Windows 7? How come you think we went from Windows 3 to Windows 3.5? I mean, sometimes it's just glitches out there. It's okay. You're gonna try something, it didn't work, you pitch it. It's kind of what we did this week. We're looking at our 2011 plan. You just do it. And do it, and do it, and do it. You don't listen to everybody around you. You listen to your 12-3-1. And if your 12-3-1 starts to get real negative because something bad's happening in their life, you know what? I don't know if this is in Bob's book, but maybe you got to change one of your 12-3-1 because they've changed. Listen to what Bob writes here. Rejection is a severe teacher. And you're most likely log some time in this classroom at some point in your life. But rejection can be more instructive than favor because it forces you to come to grips with who you really are and who you are not. It lets you know where you don't belong and who you don't belong with. The sooner you get out of there and locate the right stream, the better off you're going to be. A lot of people try two or three streams, get rejected, and give up. They begin to think that they don't belong in any stream, so they stop trying. Big mistake. There's a stream for you. There's a flow that fits you. You have friends who will lead you to it and help you in, so keep looking for your who. That's the key right there. In other words, go where you're celebrated, not just tolerated. Look for that pot of gold. And I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about who you're supposed to be, that purpose that you're supposed to fulfill. See, that's the key. Clue number 7. This is a big one, and I taught my boys this. Do what you love. Bob says, doing what you love is one of the most essential components in finding your dream. One of the great disconnects of life, a truly monumental error that people commonly make, is not allowing love to direct their course. They do this because they don't know their own hearts, so they distrust themselves and their natural instincts. Folks, you cannot do that. None of us can. You have to be willing to follow your instincts. What do you think it'd be like if a lion and a gazelle decided not to follow their instincts? See, every day a gazelle gets up and knows it's got to run faster than the slowest lion. Or excuse me, the slowest gazelle knows it's got to run faster than the fastest lion. But what happens if we flip that and all of a sudden the gazelle started chasing the lions? They got it all mixed up. See, that's freaky when you think about it, but that's how we live. You can't do that. Don't distrust your instincts. I'm a firm believer, and Art taught me this, I'll admit, but it's not about skill. It's not about all the talent in the world. All this matters. Don't get me wrong here. It's about that gut feeling. It's about that heart. You've got to follow that. Now, I know that Bobby talked about making a list, saying, I made a list to find my woman. That's cool. You're going to make a list on things, too. That list comes from the heart. It comes from what you're wanting, what you're looking for. That's what you've got to follow through with. I think some of the reasons that people don't follow their heart, they follow somebody else's because of this. Number one, They want to be somebody else. A person they admire, someone that they've seen in life that's achieved something. Unfortunately, a lot of people live in their own fantasy world, falsely believing they do have what it takes when they don't. This is why we see so many people go to Hollywood. And then they get their dreams dashed because they wanted to be like somebody else. You need to be yourself. Another reason that people just don't go out and do what they love is because they need money. So they turn to a temporary thing, and all of a sudden that becomes their life because they feel like that's all I can do. I can't do anything else. And sadly, here's the third one. Someone else told them what to do, or they're living somebody else's dream. I see this a lot with kids going to college. I see them graduate, especially down here on the island. I mean, I've seen guys that have law degrees, business degrees, medical degrees. It was somebody else's dream for them to do that. And you know what they're doing now? They own restaurants, they own fishing boats, construction companies, landscaping companies. They didn't follow their dream. I mean, they did later in life. But they got a degree based on somebody else's dream. The number one reason, Bob says, so many people haven't allowed love to direct their path is because they really don't believe they can do what they love with the people they love in a place that they love and be happy, successful, and fulfilled. And let me tell you something. I'm a walking example of somebody that can tell you. You can do what you love, work with the people that you love, live in the place that you love, be happy, successful, and fulfilled, and it doesn't have anything to do with a boatload of money. The money will catch up with you, I'll guarantee you that. But you got to follow your heart first. And I'm going to tell you something. Every organization I've ever dealt with, every leader I've ever dealt with, would welcome a passionate worker with the right skill and the right attitude. Because when you put the right skill and the right attitude together, the sky is the limit. You can break through the ozone, hit max Q, and be out there in the universe. Everything starts to flow. Everybody starts to work together. It's time that you look at yourself and say, where's my dream? What can I do? I need to get it back. I need to follow life's clues. I need to move forward to that next level. Now's the time for you to do that. Folks, I told you, these 3 days I just had in Texas changed a 180-degree turn in some areas. And talk about exciting and challenging. I'll never forget Dennis Dautel, the founder and CEO of Ignite, majority shareholder. We're sitting there in the room, just the two of us, and he said, Troy, I need it from the heart, man. Do you feel cool with this? You okay with this? I said, Dennis, this is a challenge, man. This is kind of scary. I got to see if I'm up to it. I said, you know, I'm excited about it, but I want you to know I'm a little, you know, there's a little. I'm gonna be running scared. I'm gonna be making sure. He said, "Well, do you mean you're afraid?" I said, "No. I'm gonna be making sure that I'm doing it right. I'm not gonna be cocky. I'm not gonna think, okay, I got the tiger by the tail. It's gonna bring in some humility, man. It's gonna be." Folks, follow your dream. Follow your heart. You might be in that career right now and you really don't like it. Well, don't quit. Just start on something new, man. Start following that heart. And I guarantee you to catch up with you. Tomorrow, we're going to be in Chapter 7. It's going to be wonderful. We're moving into Christmas. Tomorrow, reworking you and your who. It's going to be a fine time, I tell you. It's awesome. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.